This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
So I've had a hell of a day.
Yeah.
So my truck broken down, wouldn't start. I replaced the battery in it.
Okay.
Thought I did a good job. Got it to work. I mean, literally got it to work and drove it to work.
Gotcha.
And once I got it to work, I couldn't get it to start again. Wouldn't even click. Nothing would happen. I was like, damn, did I do something with this battery? Did I not do it right? I'm under the hood. I keep going back at night because I don't want people at work to see me working on my truck. So I'd go back. I'd sneak back in at night with all my tools and futz around with my phone light. Couldn't get it to work.
Damn.
So I end up waiting until today when nobody's at work to call a wrecker to get it moved.
Okay.
And so I go there and I'm like, I'm going to jump in it one more time. See if I can get her to roll over. Maybe it just needed time. Maybe it just was tired of me and just needed a little space. Maybe it'll work. Nothing. So I'll call the wrecker. Wrecker guy shows up. But as I'm getting out of the truck, evidently I've dropped my phone.
Okay. But that's bad to start with.
Yeah. So when I get out of the truck, I slip and bust my ass, and I think it was on ice.
Jesus.
But I look down, I dropped my phone face down. I'd stepped on it, like crunched it into the pavement, and then fell and busted my ass.
Oh, God.
It was awful. So in a span of a few seconds, I learned that the truck is definitely not going to start. My phone is smashed, and now my ass hurts a little bit.
That's a triple header.
Yeah, so I'm limping back to my other car, and I'm on the phone with the tow truck guy. And so now I'm becoming a little self-conscious about this battery thing I've done. Like, man, I probably fucked it up.
Yeah.
They're going to get here and look at it and be like, dude, what are you doing? Why is it upside down and covered in, you know?
Why is there Pepsi in it?
Why is there Pepsi in it? So he gets there and he's like, what's the problem? I'm like, well, I had a buddy change out my battery. And I don't know if he might have fucked it up, man. I don't know what's going on. I think it actually might be the starter, but he could have really fucked up the battery, man. I don't know. So the guy goes over there and he's like, well, let me mess around with it a little bit. And he goes and turns it and looks into the hood and pokes around a little bit. And he goes, your buddy got the battery in there. Good. I was like, awesome. I mean, I'll let him know. Yeah, I'll let him know. So you think it's a starter then? So I just felt, good that it wasn't.
But then
I immediately wanted to take credit for it. Like, yeah, it's because I put it in there. I'm the buddy. But I didn't. Now I have to live this lie now.
Right. It's like the episode of The Office where the Michael Scott does the Willy Wonka thing.
No, I don't know that one.
And he puts all the certificates in one pallet. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay, I won't go to the whole thing. That's fine, though.
You're an office machine.
Well, like a copier?
Yeah. You're a fucking faxer, man. You're a fax machine.
I'm a faxer.
I don't know. Do they still have those?
Yeah, they have fax machines still.
Yeah, that's faxer.
A faxer is one who faxes,
I think. Well, whatever. This is the Polykill Podcast. I am Travis, joined by Jake.
Hey, guys.
And but speaking of, you've done some office trivia, man.
Not too long ago. Yeah, me and a pal, we racked up some points. Not bad. I mean, this local bar does pretty much random trivia, but any time that they do office trivia, the place just gets absolutely packed. Like, they were having to turn away people. People were standing. People were eating and drinking off of the pool tables. It was madness.
Yeah.
And we basically came in third. Not, like, officially, but, like, basically came
in
third.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad. I mean, there were only two of us, and I think each round there were 12 questions, and we got 10 questions right each time. And they were really specific. Narrow questions like what was the name of the lake that the booze cruise was on, and you know, how much did the entire office weigh before Pam stepped off the scale in the weight loss episode? So like, really.
But you remember this shit?
Some of it, yeah.
Damn, dude, that's impressive though. Like, you impressed me with your ability to remember like movie quotes and things like that, and I have no capacity for that at all. Mm-hmm. I'll you know, I can sum up parts of movies,
sure,
and be like, you know, they put the ring in the fire, and the lizard followed him, and those two fellers there, I thought they was going to kiss. You know, like, you mean the last Lord of the Rings? Yeah, that's the one.
The same.
But I can't, you know, I can't go on long bits of it or remember even some of the bigger parts.
Well, that's fair. Everybody's got their gifts, man.
I guess. Maybe I'm just stupid.
No.
It could be it. All right. So, we're back here doing our thing with the games and whatnot. Mm-hmm. If you've not heard the podcast before, that's what Jake and I do. We talk about the games we're playing, the games we're beating, the games you're playing, the games you're beating. We try to have a little fun with it.
We do.
And hopefully we do have fun with it. I think I do. I have fun with it.
I enjoy it.
All right. Well, what games have you been playing, though?
Well, it's been a little quiet. I mean, there was a space, I guess, right before the last episode where I was playing games like a son of a bitch. I mean, it was just every night, just going to town.
Bing, bum, boom.
Just boom every night. Mm. That slowed down a little bit, and I think maybe there was a bit of a burnout phase. So like when I would go home, I would just drink until I passed out. I didn't do that, but like,
that's mostly what I did.
It's fine. It's fine.
You're acting like it's a bad thing. I'm like, what do you mean? Why are you playing it off?
No,
it's
fine.
It's okay, right?
I mean, in the context of this podcast, is not what I should be doing. I should be playing games.
Yeah, I guess. Or watching The Office, evidently, and brushing up on those skills.
Sure. Now that I did do a little bit, but I did get around to playing Jedi Fallen Order, the Star Wars game.
Now, yeah. Now it is the time of year. Tis the season.
Tis the season.
For a lot of Star Wars talk. A
lot of big Star Wars talk.
The Twitter is crazy right now.
I muted Star Wars on Twitter.
You can't even be on there.
It's just too much.
It's nuts.
And I like Star Wars, but like I get.
There's always a chance for something spoilery.
It's just the hot takes and the spoilers and all that. And I'm just like, you know what? I liked it, and I like all the Star Wars. I'm just going to let people be.
Quick question before we move on. The last Star Wars game, I know this isn't related to the Battlefront series, but did they always seem to come out when the movies hit?
I don't think so. Not necessarily. But I think that once... maybe a little bit, I guess, on this last trilogy, there was some syncing up. Between Battlefront 2, and then now this one, that
kind of
makes
sense. I just
wonder
if it's purposeful.
Probably.
I know they're not movie-based games, but you kind of want to get in that world.
Yeah. I mean, the brand, you want more visibility for the brand, so sure. Mm-hmm. But I've just been really blown away with how great Fallen Order has been. Like, genuinely, it's unexpectedly good. My greatest joy that I'm finding in it is that it's just so unexpectedly good, and like the surprise of it. Being as good as it is almost as good as the game itself. Like, it's refreshing in a way that's like, oh, this is good. This is good. These characters are cool. These animations are cool. And the skills that you get as a character are nice. And the locales look great. And the story is actually kind of cogent and kind of makes sense. And there's some real drama there. So, like, I think it's, you know, I don't think anything will ever topple Knights of the Old Republic for me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think this is neck and neck with that in terms of, like, Star Wars feel, engagement, and like just quality of game. It's pretty special.
It seems like part of you kind of likes it because you're impressed that it's this good and a Star Wars game.
I just had zero hype for the game coming in. You know,
but if it were detached from Star Wars, would it still hold up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's the best part about it, actually, is that it is not using Star Wars as a crutch in any way to be a good game.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, like all the systems, like it borrows a lot, obviously, from games that came before it. I think most notably Uncharted or like the new Tomb Raider series, as well as like a Dark Souls style action light RPG. So like the game is mechanically very sound too. So like, I think that is the best part actually, is that it doesn't rely on Star Wars too much to be good.
I wish I could get into Knights of the Old Republic. I tried it on my PVMs,
right?
You know, the little TVs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of text in those games, and they
there's a lot of reading.
I couldn't get close enough to it to read it all. So I'm going to have to move to a different TV, I'm afraid, but I did start it. Okay. For what it's worth.
Okay.
Our friend Musty's playing it there on a stream. It was the Cartridge Club Game of the Month and all that and whatnot. But it seems like it's holding up. People still liking that old game.
I mean, the strength of that game is the story. I mean, obviously, it's a BioWare game pre-EA interference, so it's going to have some real charm to it.
The story, and I will say, from the third-person perspective, having watched some people play it online, the booties in that game.
Good
top
booties?
Notch. Great booties.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, your character is mostly butt.
Yes.
With like a hat or a cape on it. Pretty sweet. If you're into that. If you're into, you know, the cyber donkey booty donkey or whatever. Yeah. Dude and lady alike. I mean, good all hams good. On all.
Yeah.
They didn't spare anything. So I haven't played anything, honestly, too wild and crazy. Mm-hmm. Same old stuff I think I've been talking about. I'm just going to be an old boring boy this time. I did write on the sheet I've been playing Beard and Boy, which is obviously God of War.
Right.
I haven't played that as much.
Boy.
I just haven't had the gumption, I guess, to really get back in it. Like, it's...
You scared?
No. I don't know. I just wasn't, I guess, in the mood.
Okay.
Or wasn't... Yeah, I didn't really want to take it on.
I mean, you can just not like it. That's fine.
I'll
just berate you until you die.
I do like it. I will admit, I don't think I love it as much as some of the other people do.
Sure.
But I do like it.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Of course not.
I'll
fight you.
Kind of forced myself to play the new stuff. I've just been a retro boy lately.
That's you,
what
man.
I've been doing. But I do like it. I do like it a lot. It's
good.
Looks really good. I mean, fuck.
It's surprising.
And what I was talking about last time about the pacing, and I remember you spliced in like the narrative. I was like, I realize I don't care so much about that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's the pacing of the action.
Okay.
Like, it's, you know, 45, it's almost like to a science. It's like 45 seconds of walking, 5 minutes of fighting, 2 minutes of walk-in, a conversation, and then it repeats. Yeah. And like, so you're, there's never
nice
any
cycle.
Like, lull. So, I mean, it's just the pace of it's kind of nice. It has me always kind of on the brink of action.
You're always
there's
doing
no,
something.
There's no downtime.
Yeah.
And I think it's great in that way. And that's one reason that I don't want to play it, because I know it's really hard to put down.
Okay.
I'm like, if I start this now, what is it, 10 o'clock? I'm not going to bed until 2:30, and that's not good. So let's just play a baseball game for a couple hours, I guess, and
sure.
then play that until 2:30 and really,
right.
really fuck it all
it's
up.
It's the classic number of, I can't watch a movie tonight. I'm too tired. And then you watch 8 hours of The Office or something.
Yeah, or yeah. start 24 again and try that and see how that fits
how
like
that
I did and make it to the fourth episode. And you're like, I don't know why I did this. I've already seen it. I know right. what happens.
Yeah.
I'm really stupid. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. Little Beard and Boy, played a little bit more of Luigi's Brothel.
Okay.
Very,
how's that going?
I go through spells with it too, man. I think the problem here is not these games that I'm playing.
Mm-hmm, it's you. You're the problem.
I've kind of hit a point where I'm just kind of uninspired to really do anything with games.
It's weird.
It's kind of weird. It's
but that's
like,
okay.
It's not the game's fault. I mean, these games
right.
are great. I don't know what it is, man. I mean, it's bled into a lot of other things. Like, I don't even get, like, excited about doing it. A lot of things I've been excited about in the past. Just kind of like a little funk, I guess. I don't know. It's not a seasonal thing, though. My fucking, I don't mind the seasons, you know?
Well, that's good.
It's nice and cold out. I fucking do. I'll go outside. But I don't know what's going on. I've been kind of twisting my own arm to play games. I don't know what it is.
Admit, take a break. Walk away.
I have. That's why I started 24.
Yeah.
And, and some other things. But yeah, I don't know. And I look at the Switch stats. We have the Switch stats.
Right.
And I have all this momentum all year long. January, bamity boom, March, fucking, what are some other months? Name them. August was a month. Fucking did it.
July had, I think that's when we celebrate.
Did great.
Yeah.
Did great there. November, like 4 hours. December, like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It really just dropped off.
Just dropped way off.
So everything's kind of dropped off for me. I don't know what it is, man.
Maybe you should sleep a little bit.
I've been sleeping.
That's good.
That's the thing.
Okay.
I get a lot of, I just wake up even more devoid, more energy to be sad about all this shit. I don't know
okay.
what it is. But, you know, it is. What have you been doing?
Well, I played some more Resident Evil 2.
Now, that's a good time.
Isn't it?
I liked it.
So, if you guys recall, I made a bit of a declaration at the beginning of the year that I was going to beat a fucking Resident Evil game. And then, I think back in maybe October, maybe November, I finally got around to beating Resident Evil 2 Remake. And I played through the Claire story. Really liked it. Really enjoyed it. Thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good old time. And then, I just for some reason, I couldn't get the game out of my head. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play it again. But I'm going to play the old
Leon.
Boy.
Leon.
The professional.
Leon.
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 Oui, oui. And I decided to go ahead and jump back into that. And, you know, I think there was some initial concerns maybe by yourself and Brian. When you finished, you guys wanted to restart and try the other one. But, it seems like it's close
it
to being the
very,
same.
It seems similar for
and
a
I'll
while.
Be honest. It's very similar until you get out of the police station. Then mm-hmm. things diverge greatly. So that's the point I'm at now. I'm in an uncharted territory with Leon. So it's really cool. I really love the game. I really do.
Now, you would talk to before, and I don't even know that I could do this. I don't know if I can play a big spooker by myself. Like, you got the lights on and...
Oh, yeah. Lights are on. I've got people over. No, it's usually just me, but, you know,
just
I'm
on
not...
The phone. You have your dad on speaker.
Yeah,
dad, you can go to sleep if you want. I just want you here, okay?
You can just here, let me hear you breathe. but I just, in general, like, I've had a few moments of, like, chills, like, fuck, because, like, the enemy placement is different, and the enemy types are a little bit different. I mean, like, nothing, like, outside of the canon of the game, but
sure.
just, like, where they put them is different.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a little different, and then the weapons that you get are different between Claire
yeah.
and Leon. So, like, it's just, you gotta switch up your strategies, and, like, sometimes those liquors will just be in places they don't expect, and I'm just getting...
I've been
just,
to a truck stop.
Boy, just getting punctuated. By them big old face muscles. I don't know. But yeah, that's happening. And that'll make me jump a few times. But yeah, like it's just really, really, really freaking good. So I'm having a good time with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, playing them back to back like that. Yeah, we didn't really give it a lot of time, I guess. We like kind of started it, maybe got, I don't even know how far in, but it was like, wow, this is a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to hear that it isn't. It's
yeah.
crazy that, I mean, I usually will finish a game that I know has another playthrough mm-hmm. and just feel done with it, but that one really did leave me wanting more.
Yeah,
which is
no, it totally does. And I actually bought the digital edition on the old Xbox, so I got the premier edition. So it's got, I think, like one extra thing that the base didn't have, but it's got like those three ghost survivor stories or whatever they call them. Mm. And then there's like a bonus one that's like you play as one of the Umbrella Corps soldier guys. So I want to play through all those as well.
Nice. Because they're coming out with the third one.
Right. And this is great. I'm really excited about that.
Me too.
It also led me to buy Resident Evil 7 on sale. Mm. PlayStation has got a big sale going on, and they had another one before the current one because they got like an end of year, and then now they got a holiday, but they had another one like during Black Friday. So like they've just been selling like sales and sales and everywhere.
Sales, man.
It's like a regular yacht.
Wow.
Too much?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess.
Okay. But anyway, I also picked up a couple of other games, first-party PlayStation games. I just never played.
Oh, it has sales on it.
Yeah, there we go.
I got it.
But I got The Last Guardian.
Okay.
Which I never played.
Right, yeah.
And it was $10. And I said,
of course,
sure.
The remastered version, right?
No,
the redizzle.
Nope, Last Guardian.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Shadow of the Colossus.
Which I did get that one, too.
I'm sorry. So Last Guardian was the one with the giant dog.
Correct. The dog. Birdfoot thing.
That's right, Dog Birdfoot. That's right.
I think that's what I'm going to call him, Dog Birdfoot.
That was actually my great 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 grandpa's name.
Dog Birdfoot.
He was Cherokee.
But yeah, so I grabbed those. So those are my essential pickups. But yeah, Resident Evil 2, and probably once I'm done with that, I'll move into 7 and
I'm excited for you to do that.
Yeah. I'm pretty glad that I dabbled. And,
seven and two are very different. I'm interested to hear your take on.
Yeah, no, I am those. Too. I am interested to hear my take on them.
I think you actually might. I don't know. You might like seven. I think seven has more of a just kind of has this like hillbilly. The hills have eyes. Or I'm sorry, seven kind of has that feel to it, which is just completely kind of off
it's
the
different.
Rails.
Unsettling. Yeah,
for sure. Anyway, that's great. I didn't pick up anything, but I guess self-loathing and a couple amiibo. I got the Simon Belmont.
Which I saw that's a note there.
That's a neat little feller.
I like that.
And another one I didn't have, but yeah, whatever. The Simon Belmont one was the BZs. Oh, I got the pixelated Link.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, I'm also playing Wild Arms 2.
Well, that's good. You like that.
Yeah, I like it because I feel like I have to defend myself and say I don't think it's a better game than some of the other games I should be playing, but it does afford me the opportunity to cram my ears full of podcasts while I just kind of numb away at blah, 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 and just play an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
This one is really easy.
Okay.
This is maybe the easiest RPG I've ever played, so there's not a whole lot of thinking to it, but I still enjoy it. It has a lot of, I guess we'd use overworld puzzles, and the combat system is kind of fun, and the story is decent for an RPG. I don't say that often. They're usually really stupid. To me.
That's fair.
But
I got
it's decent. I like it a lot.
Well, good.
But then
I wasted
a whole 2 nights playing a baseball game, not even licensed by Major League Baseball.
Okay.
It was licensed by the players.
Right. The MLBPA.
The Players Association.
Yes, they're fine with it.
They licensed it. So has all the players on slightly made up teams.
Fake teams.
So the teams don't have like the name of the team.
Uh-huh. Give me an example. Instead of the Atlanta Braves, what are they?
It just says Atlanta.
Okay, so you just...
And it's just a color scheme.
Okay.
But...
That's a fine workaround. Right.
But all the cities are still there. But if your team was named after a state...
Okay.
They made it a city.
Interesting. Which, so like the Minnesota Twins are just Minneapolis or something?
I don't remember that one specifically, but probably. Like,
okay.
The interesting thing is the Florida Marlins are the Miami Marlins, which they are now. So that was fun.
That's foreshadowing. Yeah.
The Texas Rangers, I think, are the Houston Rangers.
Okay.
So they did some stuff like that. Yeah. That's the only difference. But all the players there, it's pretty fun. So I'm playing it. Uh-huh. And I don't mind going through and playing. So I'm a sports guy. I like sports.
Right.
I sometimes get nostalgic for sports from the time that I loved them in. I really liked baseball in this era, the early mid-90s.
Did you collect cards and stuff?
I did. I did the whole thing.
Yeah. So that helps you just like, it endears you to it.
It does. And it helps you learn the players.
Yes.
You know? So I was kind of a sports geek. And so I'm playing the sports geek game from 1993, I think.
Okay.
This baseball game.
This is on Super Nintendo.
This is on Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm okay with logging it as a beat. My stipulation is I have to at least play a playoff series if it has that option, or I'd have to play the full season. I ain't looking to do that. So let's just do a playoff series and see if we win the World Series. So I pick my team, the Chicago White Sox, or Chicago written in black. And I'm starting off against the Cleveland Indians, or Cleveland just written in red. and we square off. And this series, is the most riveting innings of baseball ever conducted, real or imagined.
Okay.
Insane.
It's classic.
insta-classics every fucking game. 1-0 at the end of the first game, had to win on a sacrifice bunt. And that's not even me just kind of like not knowing how to play the game. Like by the third inning, I kind of gotten used to it.
Sure.
Just hard. Like stiff pitching. I'm pitching tough. We both got, you know, it's like Jack McDowell versus Oral Hershiser. Like we're going all in. You know, Albert Bell's hitting it off the wall. You know, it's great.
Sounds awesome.
Game after game, you know, one game goes into extra, like extra innings, like 15 innings, and I win like 15-13. Walk-off home runs to win 6-5. It's going back and forth, city to city, and I'm actually getting real excited, like getting like some walk-off homers in this game.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's tough to hit a home run, period. And just get, I'm just coming up off the seat, high-fiving the cat. He's not so into it, but I'm like holding up his paw for him and doing it. And go all the way through it. Fucking, it's amazing. Winning 7 games. I'm pretty elated. I actually am. I think about it in bed because I ended up playing it for like 2.5 hours. Like baseball games aren't short.
Not at all.
And this one is actually one of the faster ones. Like it lets you kind of skip through some of the inning, middle of the inning stuff. And like,
okay.
You know, I could speed it up. So I ended up playing 7 games in one sitting.
Damn.
7 baseball games. So I go to bed kind of thinking about it. I'm kind of thinking about like some of the big plays and the big hits and some of the big strikeouts. And I'm like, damn, that's fucking great. Tomorrow, I can't wait. I'm going to be in the World Series. It's going to be me against Atlanta written in blue. And it's going to be a dogfight. So if you remember, if you're a sports fan at all, if you were ever a sports geek, and I know this is not our general audience, so I'll just say the pitching staff for the Atlanta Braves in the early to mid-90s, it may be unmatched to this day.
Dominant.
It's maybe come close a couple times, but there's several guys, just the top three are already in the Hall of Fame, Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz.
Right.
You got other guys, Avery, the whole thing. I mean, the whole batting lineup, everything is just stiff, tough. And I'm like, it's a video game. The Indians were tough. It'll be fine. I'll match up great.
Yeah.
No. I got fucking pummeled. My ass got beat so hard. Oh, my fucking God. It was immediately the hardest game ever. To the point that, like, I took my defeats. Mm-hmm. I lost the series in 5 games.
Oh, boy.
Reloaded the save. I was like, I'll just start from game 5 and see if I can just chip away. Maybe I'll get a win. I'll lose a couple. I'll keep doing it until I can win it.
Okay.
Consider it. I did that. I loaded the save, and I got beat, like, 19-2, 11-1. Like, they were beating me harder than they were before.
Yeah, they knew. They knew it's you were like, loaded that save.
They're like, no. You don't load saves, bitch.
Yeah.
They put me right down. So I wasted a couple nights playing a baseball game that now I know that I cannot win. The Braves are too tough. It's very difficult.
Well, goddamn.
And I just had to say, you know, I towed my best team out there. We played our best. Hats off to them. You know, they're great. It's a legendary team.
Well coached.
I don't even know if we deserve to be there because, you know, the Indians probably were a better team, to be honest with you. We squeaked by them with a couple just, you know, goofy baseball plays.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hell of a – looking forward to next year, though, which unfortunately didn't happen. They didn't have an MLBPA 94, so I can't even do that. But it was fun times, though, man.
It sounds like you had some real drama.
I really did.
That's good, man.
It's pretty crazy.
Well, I guess we should see what happened last time.
What happened last time?
Previously on Polykill, Trav gets a little sick, but he ends up beating a couple games about Peter Pan and Abadox. Jake finally finished Greedfall, so we don't have to hear about that anymore. But he has started on some biggins like Death Stranding, the new Star Wars, Assassin's Creed, Odyssey, Gears of War 5, and Remnant from the Ashes. The show is rounded out with each host taking turns naming off their games of the decade for the topic of discussion.
And we are back. Pretty fun episode. It was good to be back. I know we've been a while.
There
between.
Was a delay.
A lot of folks did share their top fives.
Yeah.
Of the 2010s,
okay.
With us on Twitter. So I was
the post-aughts, they call them.
Yeah, the post-aughts.
I don't think anyone calls it that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. 2010 through 20, whatever the fuck.
19.
So, yeah. Yep. First is Milo the Great One, Milo the Gathering, Miles. We all know him.
Miles McUpinis.
Yeah, Miles. Yep. He has Overwatch, Yakuza 0, Slay the Spire, Last of Us, and Overcooked.
Okay. So that's top five.
That's his top five.
Okay, I mean,
of the 20-teens.
You know, can't argue with that.
20-teens. That's what we need to be
20-teens. I like it. Slay the Spire is really new, so that's impressive that it made the list. Like, that's like 4 months old.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to see Yakuza on there for that guy.
Not at all.
Kyle at Kyle_325_. He has GTA 5, Breath of the Wild, Smash Bros. Ultimate, Halo Reach, and Bioshock Infinite.
Okay.
These are interesting lists.
No, I really like it. I mean, I like all those games.
I don't expect... I mean, I feel like I'm expecting like certain games. And then I get like Bioshock Infinite in there, like a game I'd almost forgotten about.
Oh,
great game.
Great fucking game.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Josh Leslie at Frantic Society, Minecraft, Portal 2, Spider-Man PS4, Celeste, and Super Mario Maker.
Okay.
That sums that guy
up. That's on brand.
We know that guy pretty well.
On brand.
Here's another guy that we know pretty well. Briz at Hokey Briz, Skyrim, Fallout 4, Life is Strange, Overwatch, and Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
Missing from there, Fallout 76.
Conspicuously not present.
And Hearthstone. Next up, K underscore song, our friend Catherine, Overwatch, Slay the Spire, Stardew Valley, Spider-Man, and Overcooked 2. And
Spider-Man's a bit of an outlier for me on hers.
For sure, yeah. Yeah. Of course, her and Miles liked a few of the same ones because they probably played them together.
No doubt.
And she says, apparently, I only like games that start with S or over. And of course, Overwatch, Overcooked, and then Slay, Stardew, and Spider. So that was fun.
Nice.
Cartridge Club Portable at CC Portable Unite. Breath of the Wild, FTL Faster Than Light, Batman Arkham City, Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle, Resident Evil 2, the remake.
Good choices.
Strong list. And
good
I
choices.
Don't think any of those are portable games. So what are you doing?
Yeah.
Is Faster Than Light? That portable?
I mean, that's on an iPad. You can put that on an iPad.
Sure. Okay, one. Pam, friend Pam at Jaskyla underscore, not Jaskyla. That's not a thing. Jaskyla underscore. XCOM, Rayman Legends, Deadly Premonition, Bastion, and Saints Row 4.
That last one's a wild card. Would not have guessed her as a Saints Row 4 fan.
She liked it.
I know, but I mean, just silly. Like when you think about all the games she talks about and how well spoken and just like
just seems like an oddball game for her. To
yeah,
enter,
it's
right?
Just
yeah,
like, you know, she analyzes games and she's.
It's not like we suddenly realize she's stupid from liking that game. It's like God, she's no. So well spoken, but then Saints Row 4.
What happened to
her?
Is she okay?
No, I agree though. It's just
it's dumb fun.
But
it's
dumb it really fun. Is so a lot of dumb fun.
Yeah.
But she did point out, she says, I left out games from this year. It's just too close. Okay. All right. So we'll move on to, I guess...
Games we beat. Yeah.
Yeah, what this podcast kind of started to be about.
Right.
And then neither of us beat games really anymore.
I mean, I feel like you do still more than me. I think as a whole, I've probably beaten fewer games this year than I did last year. But I do think in review... I have beaten girthier games this year.
Now, you have laid it on the girth.
Boy, howdy.
You've done it.
I have.
No, I mean that. I'm not even fucking around with you. You got one you want to talk about today, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, the Resident Evils, right. The Greedfalls. Right. Some of the, I mean, you put time into Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah.
I think did you beat one of those earlier in the year? Or was that
was
year?
That was last year. Last year.
Yeah. Still, though, I mean, it's kind of become a trend with you, actually, that you're... Your Zen games have disappeared from your list. You used to have these little 2 or 3 hour fun things where you swim with fish for a few minutes and you don't actually do anything, and then you fucking you know. So I mean,
I did have a couple of those, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
but I used to be really attracted to those, but now I'm not so much anymore because I feel like that experience is trying to be replicated over and over to the point where the games are predictable now, and I don't like that.
Yeah, you know where I think those games might be
VR.
Yeah, they might be revitalized for me. Or even like one of, I'd like to play Abzu in VR. Like to,
oh, fuck yeah.
I don't know how you do it.
Let me swim with them, babies.
Maybe plank, like get a coffee, lay on a coffee table, belly down on the coffee table, and just scoosh around.
I was thinking a harness, like a nice harness and winch-ish wish.
Yeah, I mean, you could go, but, I mean, do you have a harness?
I mean, we can get one.
I guess, but
just
I mean,
go to adamandeve.com and find one.
I think just lay a coffee table, take the books off the books.
No, that makes much more sense.
Pouring off the coffee and lay on that on your chest.
Right.
And then do
like
the whole,
old Superman green screen tricks. That
yeah,
used to
like
do.
Have you ever seen Cheech and Chong? Which one is it? It might be
Up in Smoke.
It might be Up in Smoke.
That's the only one I can think of.
I think it is Up in Smoke. Okay. Where I could be wrong. There's several of them, but the one where
they smoke weed.
Yes. There's a helicopter flying over. They've hidden all their weeds in this like hydroponic garden. Under in like a pool that they covered with a blue tarp.
Okay.
And then there's a hole in the tarp and they can see the weed from overhead. So he puts a ladder up, climbs up on top of the ladder and pretends he's swimming on this pool that's not there as the helicopter flying over. And you can just see like his bare ass from like the helicopter. It's great.
That's
so,
nice. That's nice.
Anyway, do that.
Okay.
In
but with Abzu. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
So I beat little.
What did you beat?
I beat some little stinkers.
Just tell me about your little stinkers.
I beat one game.
And the games you beat.
Yeah, I beat one game on the Nintendo 64.
That's good.
I know I beat it because I have it on several lists that I tend to after a game is beaten.
Mm-hmm.
I remember next to nothing about this game.
Okay.
It's GT64 Championship Edition.
Sounds terrible.
Evidently, I played it and won the championship.
But I think I know that... game isn't the cover like the like there's like a featured car on the cover that's like this bulky thing that has decals all over it.
Yes,
it has
like a Gastrol or whatever.
Yeah. I know this game.
Yeah, pretty unremarkable.
Not impressive.
Now, evidently, I didn't.
I will say, Beetle Adventure Racing is better.
Oh, Beetle Adventure Racing is top tits, man. That game,
Top Gear Rally, also a good N64 racer.
I haven't gotten around to that one.
That's
yet.
A good one.
But I've been playing through. I like racers from that era.
But they're fun.
They are fun. That era and on.
They just didn't take themselves too seriously, which is kind of what I like.
Yeah, and the ones that do are not great.
They're not fun for me.
Like I tried to play like an F1, like a Grand Prix game.
That's too technical.
And I'm like, do what with my chassis?
Yeah, you want me to?
Bitch, I ain't on a Titan shit. Just if I hit a wall and
I'm
the game's
here to press
over,
one
I don't
button
play
and
it.
Steer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like if seriously though, if I like hit a mosquito too hard and flip, I don't want to play that game.
No, that's not what I'm here for.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, you're right. I don't ever want to hit a break. I don't even want to know what button that is. Nope. So I beat it. Mm-hmm. Evidently, it was okay enough for me to stick with it. It's beatable. I don't know what to say about it because I don't remember it. But I did also beat Wrath of the Black Manta.
Now, is this an Aquaman game?
No, I don't know. It's not an, there's no Aqua in the game. So
okay.
No.
Okay.
Hard no on that. But it is. Why do you say that?
But I mean, I could be wrong, but I really think Black Manta is one. Let me double check. But I think it's one of the villains from the Aquaman universe.
Interesting.
Yeah, hold
this
up.
This makes no allusion to any Aquaman. But I will give
oh, yeah, I was totally right. But go ahead.
Oh, I'll give you the skinny on this game.
Give me the fat if you want.
Because he's not a villain. He's a very good guy. You play as him.
Well, I mean, I guess Black Manta's kind of morally ambiguous, but go ahead.
Sure. But this guy, there's a drug cartel kidnapping kids and using them to sell drugs.
Now, you say Mantis or Manta?
Manta.
I'm still right, but go ahead.
Manta. He's just a ninja in black.
Okay.
And you got to go around these levels.
Okay.
Throw in your shurikens. This is
what, what's this? Is this on?
This is on NES. Sorry,
this
NES
is,
game.
This is the NES. Okay.
Yeah, this is coming up on a NES run. All right, everybody pay attention. But no, it's decent. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Rolling Thunder, which is a game that I covered before.
That's Christian.
But you...
Rolling Thunder 2 is superior, though, in every way, but just saying.
And Rolling Thunder 3 isn't bad.
I didn't play it.
Those are better than the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the first one's stupid.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's not...
It's also stupid.
But let's talk about...
Let's talk about this Aquaman game.
The cool thing about it is like you beat up thugs or whatever, but right. You can also there's certain thugs and certain wearing certain colors that you can put in a chokehold and like interrogate.
Okay.
And it's kind of funny because sometimes they're like, "I ain't gonna tell you shit," and well, they don't say that,
right.
But yeah. And I'm like,
they also don't speak because it's 8 bits and money.
Yeah, but they do a little cutscene. Okay. A little cutscene on screen, and it shows their face going back and forth, and he's like, "I ain't gonna tell you nothing," and he's like, "Tell me where you got the boys." All right, there's a boy down the street. And you're like, okay, I got it. But then there's other guys that you capture, and they're like, "Don't hurt me, I'll tell you whatever." And you're like, "All right, fuck you. What are you guys up to?" And he's like, "I ain't gonna tell you shit." And you're like, "What are you doing?" And those are the only two guys. Like, you only get the guy that's like gonna talk and does it, and the guy that's not gonna talk and just breaks immediately.
That's great.
So that's kind of funny. But it's, you know, it's kind of fun. There's a few levels, 6-7 levels. You just hop through side-scrolling, beat 'em up.
So, okay, like a Shinobi or a Ninja Gaiden or like a Bad Dudes.
Yeah, not too different. It's actually,
like
I would say it's Rolling Thunder meets Shinobi. I would say that is perfect.
Perfect.
And it's pretty fun.
Fun.
There's some parts of it that are kind of shitty.
Sure.
But, you know, but it's decent. And yeah.
There's no Aquaman, so that's a problem.
I don't want. Baffled by it. Yeah, I'm baffled by what you're telling me there. But when you rescue the boys, every level the boys look different. So, so like one level, all the boys are just like regular looking boys, and then I don't know what that looks like, but they're just
sure.
They just have like normal haircuts and look like boys, and then like the second level, they all look like Carrot Top's kid. Like they look like clown boys.
That's amazing.
And it's really strange.
Yeah.
And they're not all boys. Level 4 is all girls. It's
quick
wackadoo.
Question. Did you play Martina McBride, This One's for the Boys, when you beat the game?
This One's for the Boys. I did not.
You should have.
I should have played it as soon as I beat it.
Yeah. They should play that every time you rescue the boys.
That's right. That's right. But it was pretty fun. I recommend people to check that one out.
It sounds fun.
Yeah. It's made by, or at least published by Taito. So it's...
Taito.
Taito or Taito.
Yeah. You say tomato, I say Taito.
Yeah, I know. But it's decent.
Good, good. So I beat a big one. We talked about this, me beating the big ones, me swinging for the fences, going yard, me Albert Bell in this shit, but not hitting the wall.
Don't even talk about Albert Bell.
It's going into the stands. I Jim Tomey'd this shit.
There you go. That's a good one.
You like that one?
You just name an Indians you like.
Oh, well, I just...
You're trying to be contrarian to my White Sox
Maybe
team.
A little bit.
Jim Tomey did come to the dark side, though, so that's fine.
Good for him.
So did Albert Bell. They both played for the White Sox.
That's amazing.
Ah, man.
We good just times.
A lot of Cleveland's leftovers. Yeah. Let's not talk about sports anymore. What are you doing?
So, Death Stranding. I beat this big old sumbitch.
That's incredible.
I know. I know.
Well, we knew you were close last time.
We knew that I'd played a lot.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't know how close I was.
You said you stayed up. You thought you were pretty close.
That's true.
So how close were you?
I was about where I thought I was, I guess.
What the fuck
Maybe a little further back. Well, here's the thing. The game is long.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you just do what I did, which is, you know, start off meander and then like, meandering is fun, but I'm really more curious about where this narrative is going. And then you just start doubling down on what makes that work.
Mm-hmm.
And then
story
just goes. The story just goes and goes and goes and goes. And boy, howdy,
I love this game so much.
Really?
It's so different. It's so bold. It's so risky. It's so bizarre. And there are things I don't like about it for sure. But like as a whole, the experience is something I'm going to think about for a long time. Because I do think despite people like throwing rocks and accusations at Kojima for saying that he's created a brand new genre, I think he actually has. I mean, I think this is something that hasn't really been done before. Regardless of, you know, there may be a few games in the past that have sort of taken some of these ideas, but to make a whole game built around this one concept, which is not a spoiler to say. I mean, he called it a Strand game. So
my new genre there is Walking Baby.
Yeah, Walking Baby.
Like a Walking Baby game. Walking Baby. See another Walking Baby game out there. It's the only game, Walking Baby.
But you know, one of the really interesting things is everything about the game is so tightly woven to every other aspect that it's almost hard to talk about just one part of the game, which is kind of a reason that I like it, because despite all of the weird things that are going on, and like if I was to explain it all, it's going to sound really weird, but like it's all important for each other for everything to work. It plays a lot close to the vest and it keeps asking questions. But then there's also some really nice payoff with answering a lot of those questions. It doesn't just keep trying to keep that carrot stick method and just keep pulling you to the end. It starts answering the real questions and the stakes get higher. And I mean, it's a brilliant, brilliant acting by the cast of the game, like genuinely good moments. And surprisingly, like it feels really emotive, which I really liked. But the gameplay loop itself is a lot of fun, too. I know a lot of people have said it's a walking simulator, which I think I called bullshit on last time. But I think just in general, the game is highly addictive. Once you kind of get into the gameplay loop, you just don't really want to stop it. What happens in the game and the visual ideas and the acting and the really one of the biggest things for me, too, was the music. I mean, the score was great, but just the use of music in the game, phenomenal, just phenomenal. So like, big fan. And honestly, this is the first Kojima game that I have played start to finish. So
wow, yeah,
that's kind of a big deal for me. And I kind of liked it because there's no groundwork to get to this one, right? You just, yes, you know his style, but there's no, like, I don't have to play Snake Eater and a Half, Big Busty Babes, whatever, Leisure Suit Larry version. I don't know. But he does have a thing for boobs. But thankfully he does it this time. He's much more tasteful with everything. I think in general, I've become a fan of his
after this. You have a dead baby on your back. Is that
weird? I mean, dude, it's so much more than that.
I'm just fucking around, but yeah.
I know. But like, I can't even comment on that.
You become one of those guys that like, you make a joke about the game, like, dude, you don't understand.
Dude, you don't know. You weren't there.
You don't understand Kojima, dude.
I turn into John C. Reilly. He's like, love him, man. But I think there's something to be said for taking really big risks, and I think that's what he did on the game. And the fact that it all works is just crazy to me. But I'll keep all the spoilery stuff to myself for now. But my friend Marty, mm-hmm, who's also beaten the game,
yeah,
myself, and you,
yeah,
because yeah, you gave up on the game.
I don't even own it. I haven't had a chance.
But you said you don't care.
I
are you thinking about it now?
I mean, I have always been curious enough to play it.
Okay,
but anyway. I don't know that. I mean, would spoiling it, is that a thing? Spoiling is actually the word.
Yes.
Would that make me not want to play it?
Maybe.
I just like being on podcasts.
I know.
But I won't beat this before 2093.
Sure. That's fair. But anyway, we're going to do a spoiler cast about it.
If you'd like to be on this podcast, send your resumes to polykillpodcast@gmail.com, and Jake will put you on a podcast where you could talk about Death Stranding if you've beaten it.
Yeah.
Like maybe a Caleb J. Ross.
I was actually thinking that, but I don't want to volunteer people if
maybe
they
Caleb
if they
J. Ross should do it.
Maybe he should.
Maybe Caleb J. Ross. That's the only guy I'm thinking of.
I think that's a good idea.
He should do it.
But like, I really want to talk about the game because, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before, I think maybe on the Patreon stuff, where I just sometimes I feel a little hamstrung about not being able to fully express my opinion or a thought or an idea. Yeah. And this is a game that I really just want to talk about some shit, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Makes sense.
There we go.
Caleb J. Ross.
Caleb.
Polykillpodcast@gmail.com, or just we'll come get
just
you.
Just send us a dick pic and we'll sign you up.
Yep.
Okay, anyway, that's a big one that I beat. I'm excited, and here we go.
That's fun, man.
Also want to address one other quick thing while we're right here at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% bailed on beating a Kingdom Hearts game. I tried again. I gave it the old college try a second, third, fourth time, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get into it. The game is aged to the point where I'm not interested in the way it plays, and I just felt a real, like, genuinely, like, a little too goofy to be playing that, a game about Goofy.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he's in there, dude.
Yeah, I know, it's all of it. So, like, I 100% bailed on that.
It's just not, it's not in your wheelhouse.
It's just not. I tried. I really did try. I bought all of them.
Yeah.
I bought all of them.
Yeah.
Which was maybe dumb. But, like, I tried.
Yeah, that's kind of like leaving your wife for your girlfriend and then finding out that your girlfriend's married, too.
Sure.
Maybe don't buy all the games before you realize you don't want to play them.
Well, they all came on one disc or two discs or four discs or whatever.
That's fair. No, it's fine. I've dabbled, too, and it's just, it's not a game for everybody.
It's just not for me.
I think that's why that fan base is so passionate about it.
Sure.
They kind of know they're special.
Well,
yeah. This is for me.
Right. That's
for everyone.
Their thing, and
for sure.
I totally get that. And also, you know, I didn't grow up with it, so there's no, like, nostalgic connection that endears me to it. So
Yeah.
So
okay, what about the Final Fantasy?
Also, probably bailed on that.
I'm going to bring that one up, are we?
No, I just didn't want to keep talking without you speaking.
Okay.
But that one might get pushed over to next year, because I still really have a passion for that. I just couldn't find the time to make that happen now.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Well, since we're speaking about resolutions, I still need to beat a Sega Master System game, and all the ones I own are too hard. So, and great. I don't think I'm going to get one before the end of the year, so I might bail on that one, too.
Fine.
All right. Let's talk about Caltech.
Okay.
Okay, listen. If this episode is sponsored by Caltech, I don't know if you knew that shit. All of them have been. Caltech, and that's Cal, C-O-W, like Cal.
Might as well call it Beeftech.
Beeftech specializes in autonomous systems, including drones and robots, as well as the mobile technology that connects you to drones and robots. They have consulted on projects around the globe. It's like the whole world. And they can consult with you as well, as no software development project is too big or too small for Caltech. If you want to learn more, or you're like, wow, this podcast actually has a sponsor, well, we do. And you can see for yourself that Caltech is really waiting for you by reaching out to info at cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. Do that.
So if you like what you're hearing so far, if you like the incoherent ramblings of two probably tipsy men just whacking their jaws off behind a couple of big old microphones, you can find everything that we do, or most everything we do, at polykill.com. You can also search us on Facebook, Twitter. You can find us there, also on YouTube. We don't really do much over there, but hey, you never know, we might show back up. You can also find our Patreon at patreon.com/polykillpodcast. We got a whole bunch of different tiers. You can join our Discord, influence the show, lots of fun stuff. So check that out if you're interested in slinging a buck or two our way and being part of the conversation.
That Discord is fire.
It's so good. It's one of my favorite places to be.
Straight up. Ground game.
Talk about it.
We don't hit the web a lot. We're talking to doctors, bus drivers, trash guys, mail guys,
awkward
doctors,
uncles,
Santas, awkward uncles, I think. We had grandma one time around.
Yeah, Thanksgiving dinner.
But take this off the streets.
Wow.
Get on the Facebook.
Okay.
Get on the Facebook. That's where the people are. I'm just now realizing it. People don't go outside anymore. The ones that are outside don't listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's the weird racist uncle behind this computer. It's your aunt that doesn't know how to spell occasion right. Neither do I. But she definitely doesn't.
Right.
Occasionally, she just needs to be hit with a Polykill stamp.
Sure.
Be like, "Lo, listen.
Hey.
Louise, check out Polykill, girl. I know you've been into them games." She probably hasn't been. But the important thing here, you know, maybe don't worry specifically about the family.
Right.
Give us a share on Facebook. I don't even know how it works. I haven't had Facebook since 2012, but whatever it takes to do that, whatever that is.
However you make one thing go to another on the internet.
However you do that, please do that.
Yeah, do that.
Is that how people say it?
Sure, yeah.
Share it on Facebook?
Share it on Facebook.
Share and like?
No, it's just share it.
Just share it, yeah. All right, yeah. Do that
cool
on Facebook.
Cool beans.
We need to get the Facebook go.
Yeah, that's one of my goals for 2019.
Okay. Yeah, please. We'll help Jake meet his goals. All right. All right, everybody. Welcome to the hashtag Just Beat It section of the show. If you beat a game, go ahead and take a screenshot, put it on Twitter, use the hashtag Just Beat It. We'll find it. And if you write a good one, it'll be pulled as a random beat tweet, and we'll read it right here on the show. Or if you beat enough games, like these guys, you'll be a polykiller. Now, just to remind you, we do interlace these with Florida Man headlines, and this will be the last episode of Florida Man headlines. It's going to go back to its roots. We're going to get creative. We're not going to rely on Florida Man for all the fun around here anyway. Stephen Davis at the Disposed Hero, who crashed his lawnmower into a police car and claimed the cops poisoned him, finished Shenmue 3, Final Fight CD, Streets of Rage, and Final Fight 3. Good game, Stephen. I don't think the cops would do that. I really don't. They get a bad rap, but I don't think they'd take the time to poison you. They'd just shoot you, probably. All right, next up, our friend Brian at Hokey Briz, who accidentally shot himself in the leg while playing cowboy, beat Westworld Awakening, Alan Wake, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, and Plague Tale Innocence. Another good group of games. And you see there, Stephen? Brian shot himself in the leg, didn't even blame the cops. Also, Brian, don't play cowboy that hard. That's a little too hard. No loaded guns. All right, so this guy's name is appropriately Corpse Flood. And if games were people, this would be a lot of corpses because he beat a lot of these to death. Here we go. At Corpse Flood, who called 911 to report that his roommate had stolen his weed, beat Batman Enemy Within, Metal Slug 2, TMNT Arcade, Sengoku 1, Sengoku 2, Sengoku 3, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, X-Men, Crime City, House of the Dead 3, House of the Dead 4, Air Duel, Violent Storm, Rambo the video game, Willow the video game, Gunbird, Gunbird 2, 64th Street, A Detective Story, Ninja Saviors, Return of the Warriors, I don't even know how to pronounce this one, it sounds like a condition you need a cream for, Cyberera Delta, I don't know, and Assault Suit Linos. That might be the name of the cream. Lanos, whatever. So good job, Corpse Flood. Oh my gosh, this is so many games. This is clearly a record. Now, a lot of these were coin-op arcade games. That's cool. You know, we don't have any rules. We just want you to beat games and use our hashtag. It just makes us popular. But good for you beating all of these games. I wish I could count them, but I don't feel like it. But it is a lot. It is a record, for sure. Just know that. All right. Now, let's get into the random beat tweets. People sometimes will tweet something that's actually pretty good. They don't just take the screenshot and think that that's good enough. They'll put a little verbiage behind it. Starting off here, Caleb J. Ross, at Caleb J. Ross, hashtag just beat it. And then in parentheses, it says with my son watching. And I don't know how I feel about that. I think it might have been a goof, but be careful. Be careful with your phrasing and where you beat it. So anyway, Dishonored 2. I started with good intentions, but instead I killed pretty much everyone. Sorry, everyone. And so that's cool. Good job. Sounds like you went to the dark side there, Caleb. So that's good. Next up, Blink at Blinkum. Had a day home sick from work. Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that, Blink. He goes on to say, so it's fitting that I was able to finish A Plague Tale Innocence. The game really hooked me and ended up being tons of fun. Surprisingly fun stealth coupled with constant tension. Not recommended for anyone with a weak stomach. Well, that's a good warning, Blink. Thanks for letting me know. I still want to play it, though. I still want to play it, even with my weak stomach. And my weak will to live. Okay, and lastly, our friend Cole at C_McAllister16 knocked off Call of Duty Modern Warfare campaign and Far Cry New Dawn. This was my favorite COD campaign by far, and New Dawn was more from Far Cry 5, which was exactly what I wanted. And I'm with you, Cole. I really want to play Far Cry New Dawn because I loved Far Cry 5. And it looks like you have a little piece of art there beneath your TV that indicates you might be a member of the police force. And maybe stop poisoning people. You know? Maybe don't do that. All right, that does it. All right, those are people that beat games. I probably said it already in that cut-in thing that I did. Okay. let's jump into the discussion.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, last time, games of the decade.
Which is a big ask of anybody to say, the last 10 years, go.
Yeah, but we did it.
We had fun.
You know?
So this year should be easier.
Yeah, yeah. So we're doing, now, the way we usually do it, we do a superlative list.
Yeah. And
we're not doing a superlative list this year.
Not exactly. I mean, we didn't decide to break it down quite in the same way.
Yeah, not really. So how did you break yours down?
So what I did is I had just sort of my favorite games in mind. So I got 10 of those, 10 of my favorite games from this year. Now,
from this year that
I beat.
That you beat.
And that's sort of how we do it. Yeah. You know, because obviously you don't play a lot of new stuff. Yeah. I don't play all the new stuff. I do get to more of it than you do, though. Mm. But we want to keep the category similar. So it's just like games that you beat in 2019 that you think were great. That's our criteria. And then I had like a highlights of like some of the coolest things that I think happened in gaming.
Oh, in gaming.
Oh, well, not like news stories, but like as it related to me from the year.
Okay. So my top 10 are broken down by I guess, the experience of having beaten them.
Okay.
And so not all of these games I would give like 10 out of 10s.
Uh-huh.
There are a couple 3 out of 10s that I was pretty elated to beat and hopefully never play again.
Gotcha.
Just the moment of getting that win, though.
Yeah.
It's still special. That's the thing I like about video games. It's like, you get to the end of the movie, you didn't really do anything. You just watched it.
Right.
But like, get to the end of a game, good or bad, you still get...
You survived.
You feel good about it.
Yeah, yeah. You made it happen.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, sometimes the shittier, the better I feel about beating it.
Like, no doubt.
Fuck yeah. Suck it. I say that to it, to its face. If a good game ends, I'm kind of sad, usually, to be honest with you. I'm like, well, that's
a weird way to go about relaxing and playing a video game.
I know.
I was like, you know what? I don't like beating the good ones. Let's just get the bad ones.
Yeah, let's just play the bad ones. Yeah. All right.
Hope these good ones last forever.
Who wants to go first?
I guess I'll lead things off.
All right.
Maybe what I will do first is kind of go through some games that I do want to play and that I actually have but haven't gotten to yet. That way you're not waiting for them to be on this top 10 countdown that I'm doing. But games that I am excited about that came out this year but I haven't played. Control. Really want to play that.
Samesies.
Really want to play that. I have Brian's copy. He let me borrow it. And I let him borrow Death Stranding. So I'm going to play that soon. Borderlands 3. Haven't played that yet. Have it. A Plague Tale Innocence, which I always called Innocence a Plague Tale because for some reason having the fucking phrase after the colon makes more sense than just a single word. But whatever. A Plague Tale Innocence. I have that yet to play it. Luigi's Mansion. Astral Chain. Pokemon Sword / Shield. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which I have played a lot of. The Outer Worlds and Untitled Goose Game.
Wow. What's the name of that goose game?
Untitled.
Okay.
So I want to play all those, but just haven't played any of them yet. But I think they're all going to be cool. They're probably on a lot of end-of-the-year lists. A lot of you guys probably love them, but they're not in my top 10 because I just didn't play them.
There you go, buddy.
Or didn't beat them.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Haven't had a chance yet.
Yeah, that's it.
I guess I'll get started with my 10th game-beating experience of the year.
Roll on, brother.
What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, what a great mother-effing game.
So great. It's one of those things that stick with you after... In the moment, it had me thinking about my own life experiences, tragedies, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to give anything away about the game, but
well,
if you're going to play it, go in there knowing. Your heart's going to get tugged at a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay? And I enjoyed that. There's most forms of media don't really give me the feels, feelsies.
Mm-hmm.
But that game, there were certain, I don't know what you call it, episodes or vignettes or...
We'll call them vignettes. I think it's the absolute right word for it.
That certainly did.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
I think there's something about, you know, there's, you know, maybe when you're watching an emotive movie or a TV show that's sort of written and constructed and shot in a way that's supposed to evoke something from you, it's easy to really have a bystander point of view on that stuff.
Yeah.
But when you're actually like
involved and you can't move on unless you do.
Right. Unless you do the thing, it can affect you in a different way.
No, I agree with that 100%. And I'm not saying like, you know, Old Yeller getting capped don't affect me. I mean, like,
I don't care. Not my dog.
He is diseased. You're right. That's a bad example.
Yeah.
But in general, you know, it's just one of those things. But that game definitely did something that no game has really done. Maybe you could argue the Telltale games do that a little bit.
Definitely.
You know, a little bit.
Same idea.
But this was more grounded.
Visceral, right?
Visceral, grounded. And yeah, I liked it a lot. So I left that one thinking about it for a few days. And of course, another shout out to Caleb J. Ross, who's doing a thing on his website. It looks like he sounds like he's working on a book.
Absolutely.
About it. And he does some shares in the Discord with that. Another reason to join. And so it's been excellent to read that stuff.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah, I didn't know you hadn't played it till this year for some reason.
Yeah. Turns out it was this year.
Did you ever talk about summer. It?
I did, yeah. I think we talked about it.
I just don't remember you ever talking about that game.
It's hard to talk about it. Like, we're really skipping around a lot. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, you don't even really want to give away any of the premise other than...
Nope. It's about the...
A girl goes home to her house.
Finch.
And whatever. Goes through the history of it. It was in March when I beat it.
Okay. So, number 10 for me coming in. Now, this is a game that did release this year. Most of these are. There's like one or two that didn't. But is Rage 2.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people, you know, poo-pooed the game, weren't as big of a fan as me. I went in with kind of low expectations because I wasn't crazy about the first Rage, but I knew that a combination of id doing the shooting stuff and Avalanche doing the open world stuff, you know, I've got Doom meets Just Cause. I was pretty excited about that combination, and I just had a lot of fun with it. Like, the game's story is fine. It didn't do anything super original at all in the narrative. But just the moment-to-moment being in that world and shooting things and blowing things up and driving around, massive open world, cool vehicles, cool powers, great guns, gorgeous animations, snappy animations, great frame rate. Like, it was just a joy to be in. And even though I'm sure it's not making many lists, I really, really liked it. It's not like from a celebrated franchise, but I think it could be the start of something really cool.
Absolutely,
you
man.
Know, you pick up with the sequel and roll on. So, yeah,
it's another one. I mean, it's for some reason it's easy to forget.
Yeah,
I mean, I kind of forgot all about it. Yeah, I need to jump into that. There's another one. Number nine for me, Wild Arms. Now this is I'm playing Wild Arms 2 now. I've dabbled in Final Fantasy stuff, but they don't really connect.
Okay,
and I honestly, God, I don't really like the worlds of Final Fantasy 2 too much, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. Well, there's something about Wild Arms, though. It's got this Old West kind of feel.
It's nice.
I don't know. There's something about that I'm a little more drawn to. But in terms of, like, the franchises that are heavily RPG-focused, right now I've been into the Dragon Quest,
okay,
the Final Fantasy, the Wild Arms, and played a little bit of the Persona. And I've dabbled in some others on the fringes. But I gotta say, I think Wild Arms is kind of mine. I kind of think that's the one that I like the most.
You're going to plant your flag there.
I think so. It's a little simpler than the rest of them. It's not as popular for whatever reason, but I don't know. I'm really drawn to it. I really like it. And so I'm almost halfway through Wild Arms 2. I'm already looking forward to 3. I own it. You know, so this is going to be one of those things that I think it was the start of something for me within a genre. And so that's one reason that I think beating that game did something to me.
Very cool.
It did what it had to do. So I liked it a lot. So I was happy to have beaten that one. Good memory from this year.
Nice. Okay, so I guess the ninth one for me, a bit of a surprise, didn't see this coming, World War Z.
Okay.
So, another game. A lot
of zombies on screen.
A lot of zombies. So many zombies. It was in the Brizzies, right? Best horde.
Yeah. The Brizzies, man. Shout out to that. That was funny.
That was some good shit. But yeah, I didn't expect this. Also, this game came out this year. Big fun. Big fun with friends, shooting zombies, getting that loot.
Harkening back, this is the one that harkens a little bit to the Left 4 Dead.
Definitely. It's third person. I think it's better than Left 4 Dead, obviously.
What do you mean by that?
It's 10 years newer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which helps a lot. But just that overwhelming presence of zombie hordes is just, it's something unparalleled in a game I've played. You know, I mean, just thousands of them just running at you. And, you know, like when you see those, like, school of sardines just swimming around. You know, like dodging a shark, and they're all just moving in unison.
We're talking about Abzu again already?
Maybe. but, like, that's what it looks like, except it's zombies.
Yeah.
And they're all just, like, hurling themselves upstairs.
I've seen it. It's crazy.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good. So, yeah, big surprise.
Good physics, too.
And
legs flying and shit.
Oh, yeah, you can blow things off. It's good. It's a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My number eight was also a spooker. Blair Witch. Yeah, that came out this year. So I played a game this year, bitch.
Yeah, you did.
Played that with Briz,
yeah,
obviously. I was excited about this one originally just on name alone. I was like, a Blair Witch game? I'm kind of already in. I don't really have to see much.
Mm-hmm.
I just like a new horror something. Give me something. I usually expect those games, like the movies, to be not great.
Sure.
But it's either going to go one of two ways, both of which I enjoy. It's either going to be hilariously silly and awful, which I'll enjoy, or it'll actually scare the shit out of me, which I'll enjoy later. And so this was one of those that did a little bit of both, actually. There was some parts of it that were pretty cheesy. And I mean, it's based on Blair Witch. It's a little loose. But it takes it in a direction that I thought was pretty interesting. But it looked good, played well. The only issue I had with it was like the last stanza where you're in the house takes a little too long.
Okay.
But there were some moments Briz and I were jumping. That was the game I think we were playing, and it was really quiet. There's some tense moments. And then his wife, you know, we were down in his basement. His wife comes down the steps carrying something. She tried to be quiet, but she slips and falls and makes a loud noise and busts her ass on the bottom step. And I don't even know if she's okay or not, but I've already screamed and like am almost to my car. Like, I think I've been shot. So that just explains the intensity of the game. It's pretty intense. So I enjoyed it. It was fun to beat.
Great.
Good couch co-op action.
My number eight, Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Oh, wow. Dude, I don't remember this.
Yeah, no, you don't.
What the fuck is this?
This is that it's basically a playable pop album.
Oh, that's right.
It's neon. It's highly stylized. You're on motorcycles. You're riding on the back of a deer getting chased by a three-headed mech. You know, it's just bizarre. It's like a fucking fever dream. And I love everything about it. It takes about an hour and a half to beat.
It's so fun. It's so pretty. And it's like $12. Everyone should get it and play it. Mm. It's just a great time. And it's one of those little experiences that I just won't forget. And I think it's pretty special. And I think in general, one of the most original things that I've played in a long time is, you know, obviously not a lot to it. So it's not going to be the higher on the list than this, but just that hour and a half I spent with it was really cool. And I'll definitely go back and play through it at least once more.
It's fun how some, you know, sometimes just those, I think maybe the reason that we forget about Rage 2, just as an example, is that we play a lot of games that are high octane and blood and guts and shooting and all that. And, a game that's not that sticks out, good or bad.
Sure.
You remember that. Like, I remember Choo Choo Rocket League. Shit. Like, that game is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And this game, it obviously sticks out for you.
Yes.
So that's interesting. Yes.
Well done, but also just wholly original. Like, I think I'm as in love with the style as I was with the game. They're almost inseparable, but, like, the idea of doing a game like this where it is... It's telling a story pretty vaguely, but, like, it's kind of an action game. Like, I mean, imagine if it's, like, I don't know, Devil May Cry meets... Guitar Hero. Like, it's a weird mix of styles that's just, it's over the top, but just so bold and confident, and it does not care if you like it or not, and it just does what it does incredibly well.
Number seven for me, Resident Evil 2, another couch co-op experience.
I really figured this would be higher on your list. I'm not being honest. I mean, I'm not mad. I expect you to get higher.
There's some other good ones coming, dude.
I'm ready.
I mean, there's some really good ones coming.
Okay.
But no, that one is great. I love the remastering that they're doing at Capcom. I'm so glad people are big fans of
that game. I mean, got nominated for Game of the Year at the Game Awards and big love.
There's
for that.
A lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know how the internet is.
God, I hate the internet.
A lot of bitchy people.
Yeah.
It's like all they're releasing these games is just a bunch of remakes, remasters, and just like Hollywood, they have no fresh ideas.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, dude, this Resident Evil 2 is fucking fresh.
It's so fresh.
Like, they're making an experience that was pretty good for its time. They're basically reinventing it. There's not an exact line of code between these two games.
Oh, God.
It's a completely different experience. Same with the Final Fantasy game. I mean, if you love these games so much, why would you not want them updated so you can experience them again in a whole new way? Why would you hate... What is wrong with you? Like, people were shitting on the Link's Awakening thing.
God.
Like, dude, it's... Perfect.
Yes.
My daughter will never play that game on the fucking Game Boy. There's a chance she might play it on the Switch one day. You know, there's a chance. Like, there's a reason that it's just passing the torch. It's making a brighter tomorrow, you know?
Love it.
Okay. Anyway, are you up?
Yeah. My, what was that, your seven?
That was my seven.
My seven is Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
This is another one that was one of the, you know, we talked about me beating some bigger games. This was another one that was, I guess, in the 30 plus hours range for me to beat it. God, you know, there's little issues with it here, little nagging things that kind of irritated me, but like overall, I mean, this game is just super solid. It's a great adaptation and update of the Castlevania series.
It's 30
formula.
Plus hours?
Oh yeah. You can spend a lot of time in there.
Jeez, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's big. Hmm. And you know, obviously like there's reward for exploring. Backtracking, doing all that stuff.
Is
so
it the
like,
Castle, is it the Metroidvania Castlevania experience?
Oh yes,
okay,
yes,
very
it's,
cool.
It's very much
Symphony,
taking that Symphony of the Night experience and sort of updating it with lots of new stuff.
I don't even know if I knew that this game. I mean, some games just fly under my goddamn radar.
I mean, it's on Game Pass.
Radar.
It's on Game Pass, dude. Just scroll through Game Pass.
Yeah, I know,
but like,
is it on Switch?
Yeah, but it's not a great.
Oh, that's
port.
Right. That's what I've been waiting on. Was the better Switch?
Yeah,
port.
It might be good now. I don't know.
That they're doing some updates. Some
I know. I know how they do.
Let's do that.
But anyway, I absolutely recommend the game if you like a Metroid, if you like a Castlevania.
Yeah,
this game's great. It really surprised me how good it was because coming out of a Kickstarter, you're always sort of like, oh, you're braced. Your race is like, it's going to be shit, but it wasn't. And it's a game I could see myself playing again, even though it was as big as it was, because. Given the weapon sets and the powers and the upgrades and all the different things that you can use, there's probably, you know, a good bit of fun to be had trying to play different ways. Because it's not just, here's a whip, go do it. It's like, you want a whip or do you want a fucking sword or do you want some fucking spiky boots? Like, there's lots of different ways to play the game. So, yeah, big fan. Big fan.
All right, number six for moi, Rogue Legacy.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Loved it, man.
I know you did.
And I loved how it beat me, made me say uncle. It made me say uncle. It beat me. Totally dommed me. Had that thing in my mouth, you know? What is it called? Ball gag?
Yeah.
Ball gagged me for hours.
It went medieval on your ass.
It totally did. But then I got my hands together, got my wrists together. I got the tape off. I wiggled the chair. I got free. I started whooping ass.
Nice.
That's what that game does, man. Just holds you down and tickles you till you fart. And then once you get up, you just get an axe and kill whoever was tickling you. Like it just feels so good at some point because it abuses you so much to finally get a leg up on it. And I love that feeling in games. I don't know the many that have given me that. But I know it. Yeah, I know you know it.
Just I know
that
it.
Feeling of overcoming, and then suddenly
beating
it's like...
Beating Bloodborne. Same idea.
Yeah, and then it's like, don't fuck with me now, because I'm a badass. And I love that, eventually getting to that point. It took a while.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was a lot of fun. Killed a lot of my family.
Absolutely.
But it was pretty good.
Number six for me, Greedfall.
Of course. Greedfall. Now we have to hear it for a fifth straight fucking episode.
Okay. I'm not gonna belabor the point.
No, I'm fucking around.
The game has many problems, but... The charm, the story, the setting, risky ideas, it all just made one of the most memorable things I've played in a long time. And I really do think that is a game that has sort of changed the little railroad track switch?
Yeah.
That you had
Looney
to hit.
Tunes
yeah,
and,
you know, like, and then the train would go a different way.
Absolutely.
That's this game for me, like deciding to play riskier, less known, maybe lower budget games, because I had such a great time with that, despite my frustrations with it, that I might jump into something that I normally wouldn't have because I did enjoy this game.
Very cool.
To a point where
anything
I think I might need to branch out a little bit. I was thinking about the Sinking City.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
It's one of those games where everyone's like, you should get it if it's on sale, but I wouldn't pay full price for it.
Yeah, people are like that.
Yeah, I know. So like
games are always on sale.
I never
know. I don't even know what full price is anymore.
It's like $87 or
is
something.
Is it?
I don't know.
Jesus, fuck.
But... But yeah, I think that's something that will really push me toward playing some of those more, I guess, off the radar experiences in that sort of weird AA space, because it's something I've kind of avoided. Indie, I'll embrace the shit because it's like $6 for whatever. And then like the AAA stuff, you know, most of that's good but predictable. But I kind of am interested in that really, you know, gray area of like, this is super risky, but it's not pretentious, but we're reaching for something that we might not can pull off completely because we don't have the money, but we're going to try it. And that's kind of attractive to me.
Fun, yeah. I mean, reward that thought. Reward those ambitions. You
absolutely.
Know? Absolutely, yeah. Speaking of railroad switches.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I know, it was my game of the decade, and it's fifth on this list, but I'm talking about the experience of beating it.
Yes.
Right? The experience of playing this game.
Mm.
Surpasses the feeling of beating it.
Yes.
By a lot, right?
Yes. The joy is in the day-to-day, the moment-to-moment.
The collective experience, yeah, that's
yes.
Right. Of course, I enjoyed beating it. Obviously, it was great. It was a lot of fun. Then there's the epilogue experience, and that was good, too.
Can we just say that I would love just a whole fucking ranch-building simulator? Like, I would play the shit out of that.
That probably is a thing.
I know, but, like, just bring it to me. You're talking about Red Dead, though.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I don't have to say this every time I talk about it, right?
You don't.
I did enjoy it. I liked it a lot. There's not much else for me to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say without just breaking into some sort of, you know, long-winded speech about it.
That's right. But the catharsis of beating it actually came from the fact that I could finally play something else for the first time in 8 months.
Yeah. That was your five, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yes,
so my five was... Greece.
What's that now?
Greece.
Oh, Greece.
Yes.
Greece
is the word.
Is it Gris?
I think it's Greece. But yeah, we'll call it Gris for the sake of Greece, people not thinking me that I'm talking about a video game adaptation of the Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta.
I was about to go there.
Movie. Yeah. No, this thing is on the fringe of being pretentious because it does take itself very seriously. It's one of those really artsy-fartsy visual storytelling puzzle platformers that screams, I'm an indie, play me. But I did really enjoy it. I think the music is great. It's one of the few games that actually gave me chills this year, like when I got to the final bits of it. There's a great amount of catharsis and reward in getting to that point. And I think it's one of those games that will be talked about for a while. But I can also see it getting copycatted a lot. You know how Limbo, when it came out, lots of copycats. And there's still copycat in Limbo. I can see this being one of those sort of trendsetters. Play it. It's like 2 hours.
It's great.
Number four for me was Earthbound. Now, the big giddy up here is that I paid a lot of money for this cartridge.
Mm.
You really can't get it no other way.
Right.
And being a collector boy, had to do it. It was fun hunting that one down. I got it for a price that I didn't lose sleep over. I was pretty happy with it. Mm-hmm. Could never get it for that now, so it's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah.
And for a long time, it just kind of hung over me. When I pay that much for a game, for the collection, right, I really want to play it. I'm not buying shell fodder. I'm buying a video game.
It's like buying a Bugatti but leaving it in the garage. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly. You're driving around a little bit.
Yeah, driving around. Show it off.
Fuck yeah.
Take it for a spin.
Get some dead mosquitoes on the front of it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Get some gum on the tires.
That's right. But I had to play it. I had to play this one. So it kind of hung over me for a while. Finally played it. And it was, again, it was one of those moments, being an RPG kind of ambivalent guy. This was after Wild Arms. Got to really just dive in. Get that cold water on you and then start
swimming.
Take a
Scottish shower, they call it.
But man, what a rewarding experience it was. I really, really liked it. Now, I've read since, it's a very divisive game amongst RPG fans, which I barely consider myself a part of that.
Sure.
But some of them...
But if you whine about it long enough on the line, they'll consider you one.
I guess.
That's how that works.
Yeah. But I fucking loved it. And I guess... You know, I'm easy to please guy.
Sure.
In general. But this is great. I mean, the color palette. I love it. So pastel.
Right.
It's so great. I don't like the cover. I think the cover's stupid. If you put that cover art, like the art from the game on the cover, I think it's beautiful. Put that on there. It's a stupid star guy.
I know. Stupid. It's strange.
Anyway, that's me being upset. Need to be happier at this moment. The game is great. I love the story. I love the humor. Oh, the humor. Oh, my God. I actually laughed out loud. How often you play a game you actually laugh out loud? You might tell somebody, like, dude, this game is so funny, but you're just sitting there straight-faced, and you're kind of chuckling in your brain.
It's very strange.
A couple of moments in this game, I was like, nah. Yeah, I did that. Nice. That's pretty good.
That's good enough. It's not just a sharp XL through the nose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, one of those. And I really like the characters. It was so good. And
it's charming, right? Like, it's got that...
I feel like it invented charm, almost. Like, it is so charming. And I really loved it. And, I know that there's other mothers, right?
Right.
You got your mother one and your mother whatever on the Game Boy Advance.
Right.
Don't know that I'll do that. I'll do that. I just liked Earthbound. I thought it felt like it was nice and contained, and it was good.
No need to go any further.
I don't feel like it. I had a solid fucking experience right there with old Earthbound.
Good.
I don't need no other mother.
Okay, so number four for me, Dead Cells. Beating that game. Kind of, this is one of those that just is like, it felt just good to fucking beat the thing. Because that final boss, I've heard different stories. I've heard some people get there and it's like, yeah, you know, took him on, wasn't that bad. For me, he's a total son of a bitch. Yeah. Mainly because I guess my builds were never what they needed to be, and like my the equipment that I would take. But like when you start the game, you have like, I think 100 health. And then you can upgrade that through these little things that you break along the way, right? That you can apply like buffs to different types of equipment, and then that will also buff your health. I think the first time I got there, my health was like 9,600 or something.
Seems like a lot.
Like I had buffed a lot. He still fucking killed me. I don't even know what it was on the time I actually beat it, but man, it just, like, it was one of those. I just sat down. I was like, I want to play some Dead Cells. Sat down and just beat it. In like an hour and a half, and it was
the funny thing about the rogues, right?
Yeah, you just never
especially
know
that one.
That one's just so good. It, like the controls are tight. The love, the art, mixing again that rogueness with that veininess in such a clean way, and it's just a blast to play.
I feel like your experience with Dead Cells, maybe the reason you like it because of that triumph.
Yeah,
it was kind of my experience with Rogue Legacy.
Totally.
And then I talked to my buddy Josh, who also played Rogue Legacy recently. Mm-hmm. He just beat it. And I was like, what do you think of that last boss? He's like, I beat him like first try. I was like, what? I was like, it took me an hour. I had to go grind for an hour. Like, the reason, like, I fist bumped and, like, put my nipples up to the windows. I was so excited. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. That didn't really do it for me. But, like, the whole game was good.
Right.
I was like, what? So it's, like, two different experiences. Yeah. Like, I probably like the game more because it gave me more shit.
Yes.
And then I beat it. Whereas he was like, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the last boss and beat the fucking shit out of him. No problem.
Right.
Come on, man. You got to get there and lose and be mad.
Yeah.
That's how you start loving the game.
That's how you create a memory. You trauma, they call it.
Exactly. You had to go back into the locker room, talk to the Mighty Ducks, rally the team, come back out and actually be like, all right, we got an hour of just grinding here, and we're going to go back to the boss and give him the what for. But I think that does, I mean, I think our experiences with those games are similar in that regard.
Yeah. I think they're parallel.
That triumph.
For sure.
Yeah. For sure. My number three, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
beat this early in the year, January 26th. It was during the haze. It was post New Baby.
Right.
So I don't remember a lot from that time, but I do remember playing a little bit of this on the side when she was napping and farting and shitting. And I really obviously enjoyed it and loved it. And I remember one reason that this game will always rank for me is because the first few hours or few tries of me playing it, I didn't really like it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to like it. I was like, I should like this. I mean, it's everybody loves it, and it's
wrong
a franchise that I feel like I was married to for a long time. Like, I should love it. And it took me a long time to get into that loop, figure out how the game was communicating with me and what it was trying to do and what it was trying to show me and teach me and really understand how much freedom I did have. And at that point, once something sort of clicked, I think maybe at the point I got the first Guardian was when I was like, okay. All right, and just the whole thing kind of clicked, and from that point on, I just loved it, absolutely loved it. So beating that one, it's not an easy game.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not an easy game. It might be one of the harder games on this list, honestly, but having actually beaten that, after so long of thinking that I wasn't going to even play it because it was kind of tough and weird, was really cool. So I was really happy to beat that one.
That's awesome. All right, so I'm moving into the top three as well. My number three spot goes to Devil May Cry 5.
Man.
Yeah.
I feel like I heard you mention it earlier.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's that been? Where's he going to talk about that? Is he going to talk about it?
There it is.
And there it is.
Top three, baby.
I thought it would be like if you didn't already rank it by like 10 or 9, you weren't going to talk about it. So it's interesting it's so high.
No, it holds up very well. This was an early release. I think it was at least first quarter of the year. And I pretty much bought it not on a whim, but close as to a whim you can get without being a whim. Like a...
I don't even know, man.
I don't know what you'd call it.
I have a word for that one.
Yeah. Thing I loved about the game is one, you know, like I had dabbled, I guess, slightly in Devil May Cry a bit, but never really sunk my teeth into an entire experience, mainly because I felt like I never really... I didn't play the first one, so I felt like maybe things were out of order. I dabbled in the DMC Devil May Cry, sort of like, not reboot, but sort of refresh from 3 or 4 years ago, and I enjoyed that. But when this one came out, it looked like it had a lot of personality, and I was like, this looks fun. It looks pretty. I'm kind of in a mood for that quick-paced hack and slash, just get in there with a wild-ass story and wild-ass weapons and just go to wild-ass town, and that's what I was in the mood for.
Wild-ass town? Wait, and is that like Wild Arms?
It is, except it's just asses instead of arms.
Why haven't I been playing that?
I don't know. It's on Game Pass.
I'm an ass man.
It's just so fun, and it's so zany, and it's so, I mean, it's bizarre and weird, and there's weird demons and talking swords and, you know, just really interesting set pieces in a van. And
a van?
There's a van. There's a really cool van. It's a Devil May Cry van that I love. I love everything about it. But the game is just put together in a way that only, I think, someone like at Capcom can do, because it's got that super special sauce of just like, here's some like really weird shit, and here's like a hat that has a name that you can use as a power.
And a van?
It
sounds like a Persona game.
I know. It's got that, you know, it's got that wackiness of the Shibuya district, I guess.
Yeah,
wherever they are located. But yeah, I really, really like this game. It's one that I'll probably go back and play again just for the hell of it. Maybe I think I actually played it on the highest difficulty, which is something I rarely do, but I was like, let's just fucking try it. And I really didn't have any problems, but just getting those like triple S combos on like the juggling those guys with the swords, and God, it's just so fun.
You know, you said something that made me think of an idea. There should be a website that if you type in the name of a game, it lets you know if you need to play the games before it first. Like, if you really have to.
Sure.
Like
give me a gradient of, like, agreeing to disagreeing, kind of like a scale. Like, should you? Maybe you really should, versus, like, yeah, you probably can't.
I was
kind of
thinking it could be a little more, binomial. Like, it could be, you can type in Devil May Cry 5, and it says, don't fucking matter. Just play it. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
There might be some callbacks, but you're not going to, like, it's really written in that language. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. Might be some callbacks. You're not going to get them. It doesn't matter. You can play the other ones later. Go fuck yourself.
Right.
And then, like, you know, you type
in, I like that.
Breath of the Wild. It's like, doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Mario, never going to fucking
never
matter.
Never will matter. Yeah.
It's like Resident Evil 2. Honestly, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
But I get really hung up in that too. Like, I want to play the first one before the second one. And I've not played games, good games, because of that.
Sure.
I think we should look into to starting that.
Maybe we should contact Caltech.
Caltech. You know, they could probably do it. They could probably do it.
All right, it's your turn.
You mentioned weird vans and Shibuya District and all that stuff. And, of course, my number two is Persona 5.
Nice.
Now, I played 99.9% of the game. I played 200 of the 900 hours I put in. No, I played a lot of it prior to this year.
Right.
2018, I think, I guess.
That's right.
A year ago? Yeah. I played a lot of it then. Of course, I finished it this year. But again, we're talking about ranking them beats, baby. Ranking them beats. And beating this game felt so good. Oh, it felt so good.
Nice.
I mean, it felt so good because like I had done a lot of those other big old boy games.
Bailed at the end or got stuck or something.
Get stuck at the fucking end. And yeah. I got stuck at the end of this one in a way that really I thought I was done. I was toasted. I was like, I'm just too stupid. That's really where I go. Like, I've made it this far in the game, fine. I'm not getting past this part. I'm just too stupid. I should be able to get. I'm too stupid. But it turned out after I had beaten it that the times that I had not gotten past it, I was so close.
Oh boy,
like maybe an enemy away.
Ugh.
Maybe, but not knowing that, I was like, "Fuck it, I'm never gonna be able to beat it."
Sure, sure.
I keep getting here, and it takes 45 minutes to get to this point that I can't pass. I ain't got that kind of time, and you get knocked down like that. You don't really. You just kind of. You're like, ugh.
Wind's out of your sails.
I just don't want to play it again for a long time. I didn't play it for almost like, I don't know, like 8 months.
A long time.
9 months.
Long time.
Kicked it back up. First time through it. Sat there for like 6 hours.
Just six, 7 hours.
And finally got through that shit. Felt so good to beat because I loved it. That's another thing too. I didn't feel like I had to beat it because I'd put the time in or because it was a big name.
Uh-huh.
Like I really loved the game.
That's awesome.
And I wanted to beat it because I wanted to be able to talk about it here.
Sure.
For one.
Sure.
And to say that I'd beaten a Persona game.
Massive game.
Exactly. Yeah. It was great. So I love the game. And like I said before, I don't think I'll ever have the time to put into another one that comes out
or
before it. But damn, it felt good to beat that one, dude.
That's awesome.
Real good. I'm really happy that you exposed me to it. I don't know that I would have ever tried it without you giving me that nudge.
That's good. Right. I like nudging people into experiencing new things.
That's right.
My number two, Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Oh, yeah. Have we talked about that at all today?
We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll not belabor it, but I really do really, 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 really like it. Like, I've never beaten a game in 1 year and gone back and started again in the same year, ever. So that says something.
That's nuts.
That says something.
Absolutely. God, I'm excited about 3.
Real excited.
Man.
Like, I got real excited. I almost pre-ordered that shit.
Really?
Almost.
Damn.
Like, the big one from
it's
GameStop.
It's a couch co-op. We could do it.
Let's fucking and Briz. Go.
I got it. Has to be. I mean, it's tradish. But
no, that's fair.
We could all do it. We could do the three. We could do a threesome.
Yeah, I'll play it on my own. Like
whatever.
Like a man.
I just want to be inclusive.
I know.
Okay. Well, then my number one.
Here we go.
Can you guess?
I've not even tried to guess.
I know.
I'm not going to start
but
now.
But it's number one.
I really don't know.
Okay.
I genuinely don't know.
All right. So there was a series that a friend and I were playing for a long time.
Long time you played the series.
So you got it now?
No.
Oh, you're just echoing me.
I am just long time
you played the series. You're just back there just giving me the old choir. You're the choir.
I am the choir.
A long time we played the series. The first one, we beat it. Second one was so hard. We finished it. We high-fived and hugged and cried. It was amazing. It was amazing, man. It was amazing.
I got
this third one, Double Dragon 3.
Yeah.
The game that everyone, after we beat the second one, they're like, don't play.
Just don't bother.
The third one. Don't play the third one. Just pretend you've already beaten it or that it doesn't exist. Okay, just don't even. Me and my buddy were like, how bad could it be? And if you recall, it was on my birthday of 2018. We finished Double Dragon 2.
Right.
And it was an epic fashion. One health bar left. I come up with the knee. The screen goes black and white, says you win. We go fucking nuts downstairs. It was a celebration unlike any other. We ruminated, or not ruminated, but we basked for a minute. And then we were like, we have to move on to 3. We have to see what's up.
Yeah.
And immediately we're like, what the fuck? This is way too hard. So we worked on it for months. He'd come over. We'd put a couple hours in. We'd get a little further. We had strats. We had short names for strats, which is like something like speedrunners do, but it was just like a language he and I had. Like
one flesh probably, spin kick, right?
Yeah, one flesh spin kick. But there were times where we'd walk into a level and we'd be like, all right, you got left flap. I got right boog. You do uptown and I'll do down funk. And then we'll go through and smack nap. You got it? He's like, fuck yeah, I got it. You know exactly I got that shit. And then we'd go through and beat it. And it was just like we had our own language. Nothing made sense. Because we played it so much. I could understand like where he was on the screen by the way he was like breathing. Like we played
You're in sync. You're in sync.
Absolutely. Some runs weren't good.
Mm-hmm.
Some runs would be like, oh, dude, this isn't... Should we go ahead and reset? Like, no, let's just go ahead and get the practice in. We need the practice. Like, it really was like training for the fucking Olympics. I will go ahead and say this. We're not very good at games. So this was like extra homework.
Hey, listen, sometimes the people that have the most ground to make up end up doing better, you know?
I think we had the most fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a Saturday we beat this game. This was weeks of trying.
Right.
And finally, We had just a great fucking run, and we got to the end, and there were times where we would get close to the end and be like, what the fuck was that? We'd go watch a speed run. Like, man, see how the fucking speedrunners are doing it.
Right.
You know, you maybe call that cheating, but we're just, we just,
you're doing what you can. You're not competing?
Watching film. You know, it's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Watching film on the enemy. And we tried what they were doing. We're like, okay, they're really good. We cannot do that. You have to have confidence to do that. We're scared. We're just over in the corner just hitting kick. But finally, one day we just pull it off. And just the elation of beating this fucking horrible game that I gave a 3 out of 10 everywhere that I log games that I beat. Worst game on this list by far, but the best. The best beat.
The best beat.
Beating this game, I mean, just immediately started sucking each other. Just 100%. Just full-on love for one another as a man. I mean, it was unbelievable.
That's incredible.
I'll never forget beating 2, especially, and 3. I mean, it was just incredible stuff. So, felt real good.
That's awesome, dude. Still a great story. My beat does not have that much catharsis attached to it.
Every beat should end in the catharsis, my friend.
Okay, I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing. But no, like, my number one, Death Stranding. And that's probably not real surprise at this point. but I do think that the game, it surpassed what I expected of it. Like, I was expecting a lot of weird and to be a little confused and maybe kind of bored a few times, but I was willing to put the time in to see if that's what it was. But it ended up being just so much more than that for me. Genuinely really new, interesting gameplay ideas and mechanics that sort of go beyond even just like my experience, but like kind of understanding it, and I'll go into it just slightly. There's the idea of the strand genre is like where you are playing a single player game, but it's on an online server, and there are things that you can build in the world, like roads or bridges and all this stuff. And then, like, even down to, I think Caleb mentioned in his video, like, if there was a path that seemed to be, like, a logical way to go, if multiple people on your server use that same path, it would wear it into kind of, like, something you could actually see. So, like other people, how they played the game physically affected the world that you were playing in. And that's just something that I've never encountered before.
I didn't know that.
On top of that, you know, the really cool story, the acting, the visuals, the music, like it just all culminated in this really cool artsy experience that it really did answer more questions than I thought it would in terms of what it was trying to say, what it was doing. And I still think there's layers in there that I will think about for a while and try to uncover and find the allegories and find the meanings and uncover the metaphors. And like, it's dense. It's a very dense game. And for that reason, it's the number one.
That's great. Now I have a question. So
you're welcome.
All the way up. You're welcome. Okay. Welcome to Ask or just... Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Up to the release of this game, uh-huh. You were real excited about it. You're kind of holding back, and kind of waiting and seeing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I said I was interested in it, and you were like, why, dummy? And I was like, I don't know, it just looks fucking weird, dude. There's Guillermo Gaturo in there, and I don't know. And then when you got it, did it have to really earn its respect from you? You challenged it, and then it met what it needed to meet, and then you're like, damn, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it. You know, I did kind of like, challenge, I guess, is the absolute right word. I was like, what the fuck are you? And prove to me that you're worth being here.
I can see you shouting that into your PlayStation. That was my favorite part of this.
What the fuck? What the fuck are you, and who are you? But yeah, I think having that prove me wrong kind of mentality going in, and then like when you know how sometimes if you've ever read, I know you're not much of a fiction guy, but if you've ever just like opened a fantasy novel, like it's a Robert Jordan or a Tolkien or whatever, and like you just start reading and the story just sort of like grabs you and is like, all right, we're going, and I'm not going to explain everything right now, but we're still going to talk about it. You know, it's like,
kind of grabs you by the arm and drags you through it. You know?
Yeah, or maybe even by the collar. It's like, yeah. Sometimes it's just like you're dunked into this world and you don't know what's going on and who these people are and why it matters. You know, this game sort of does that and is very confident in it, and it assumes that you'll pick up on it, and I kind of like that. It's like, we think you're smart. We're not going to just tell you every single thing that's going on, but there's also massive gaps that you have to fill in as you go. And having that experience of, I don't know if you're worth my time or not, and then it just being like, fuck you, I don't care. Play me. And then I did, and I loved it.
good. Good list of games.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
let's some interesting ones on there.
Nothing says you and me like you saying Death Stranding and me saying Double Dragon 3.
No, it's totally on brand.
It really is.
Yeah. Did you have anything else to add?
I got shit. And plus, what are we at, 150 minutes?
I do have a few things I want to say.
Oh, okay.
I told you I was going to do this.
You're leaving the podcast.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
No, so like in lieu of doing like superlatives, one thing I just wanted to highlight a few things that I thought was cool about gaming as it related to me in 2019 and maybe the business and the hobby as a whole. One, I really think Capcom fucking nailed 2019 squarely.
Let's give it up for Capcom.
Like seriously, like first of all, they dropped Devil May Cry 5, which was fucking awesome. Every part of it was awesome. Music, action, all that shit. Resident Evil 2 remake. Woo-woo. Fucking titties on cake, as we say.
Yep.
Also, they dropped a massive expansion for Monster Hunter World, which is extremely successful. Apparently great. They're doing like these really cool in-game events where like Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn is playable in the PlayStation version. Hmm. And also fucking Claire and Leon from Resident Evil 2 are playable in Monster Hunter World Iceborne.
That's
which
crazy.
Is fucking cool.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Also, a really cool thing that I think was one of the most interesting things that I saw while playing games was the use of music in Death Stranding. So like the game does a really, really good job of making you feel very, very alone because you don't see anybody else hardly ever. Like the entire civilization is now living below ground. So, and you're the only person on the surface 98% of the time. So you're just walking around and it's super quiet and you're just huffing and breathing and trying not to fall over. You're wading through the snow, and then you get to the top of this mountain, and you can see down below you the grassy green tundra and your destination, and then just music starts playing. And it just, like, it gets louder than everything else. Like, the sound effects that you can normally hear fine are dulled in comparison, and the music just takes over and tells you this moment is really cool. And that was just one of the coolest things that I experienced.
Wow.
Because it's just, like, super artsy and, like, you're like, hey, this is cool. Enjoy this.
Yeah, it uses it in a way that you're not consciously aware of,
right.
But it does it. Yeah,
yeah, it kind of grabs you.
I love that shit about game design, man. When they do shit that I sometimes catch it, and I'm like, that's clever.
Yeah.
You know? And if I don't catch it, it's even better.
Right. It's like good visual effects.
Yeah.
The best ones are the ones you don't even know are there. And I guess the other thing is just some, you know, people, like you were talking about, complaining about remasters, remakes, and all this shit.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say, though. Yep. I think it was a great year for brand new IP.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so we had Death Stranding.
Of course.
Control.
Yeah.
Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Astral Chain.
Mm-hmm.
Greedfall.
Right.
Plague Tale Innocence.
Right.
Outer Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Outer Wilds. Uh-huh. All these are brand new ideas, you know?
Yeah, it was brand great. New ideas. It was a great year. People just need to fucking shut up. Fucking hate people, man.
I know.
Name a person. Hate them. Name another one.
Keanu Reeves.
Boo. Oh, come on. Don't do that. Come on.
Got him.
Come on. All right, well, I guess that does it for this super long, beefy, girthy, around the neck episode, around the base and the neck. You know, it's not a fucking traffic cone. It's a whole
fucking
beef.
Tuna can. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a goddamn sausage. Tuna can, even.
Yeah.
Give yourself some credit, buddy. You're a can of beans. You're a 8 or 12 ounce can of beans. All right. Well, I guess that does it for this episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, shout out this podcast on Facebook, and I'm at Trav Plays Games.
I'm at the McAxel.
And we'll catch you next time.
Peace.